Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
Never filtered, always fun.
I just wanted to get a Michael Phelps cap and do one lap of the lobby with goggles. Nothing to see here. Oh, hey, Myrna.
Just checking things out.
Got to stretch out the quads and hammies.
See, that's...
I'll be in the tub in 10.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jonas Siegel from The Athletic is in here. Noodles off this week. He'll be back next week. I'm 2 hours post-vacation into
the radio
show.
You're actually not bad today. Usually you're so miserable. Where we talked about it yesterday, where most people, I don't know, Jonas, what your thoughts are. When I go on vacation, I'm kind of excited to get back to work. Brian is generally
I'm not
excited.
I'm not even remotely excited, ever. I don't know what it is.
It like takes him a week of transition to. It's weird.
Feel like I'm back to normal.
I'm going to be good today. I'm excited.
The difference, man. Maybe I'm just a pessimist when it comes to my own material and my own performance. Like I come back after a trip and I expect to be choppy, not be able to find the right words.
Aren't you angry to have to be working again? Like this morning, I had a couple days off the past 2 days. And I got to the rink this morning, I'm like, man.
You were rattled.
I don't really want to be here.
Yeah, there's a part of me that has that.
And then I had to fight through it.
Yeah.
I came around.
There's a mental block that you've got to fight through, for sure. The thing is, it was a pretty exhausting trip. Like, I know people don't want to hear that, but I've got a two-year-old. My two nephews were on the trip, both under four. So we had three kids under the age of four.
In Florida.
We're going to the pool multiple times a day. Again, I understand. People don't want to hear that.
I had to drink all these great cold beverages.
Right. And you're drinking silver bullets in the pool, and people don't want to hear that. But it keeps you on your toes. You're up early. You maybe go to bed early. I do find that that's a part of my routine when I get to Florida.
Well, because the sun wipes you out.
Wipes you out, and everyone else is doing it. Like in the gated community, I saw something on Sunday.
So were you allowed to get into 10 a.m. beers?
I wasn't drinking at 10 a.m., no. But we'd be at the pool sometimes 2 o'clock, 2:30, couple pints in the pool. That's a great feeling when you're in the pool. But you always feel like people are judging you. Like the regulars that live there, they're like, who's this guy? What's he doing in my pool drinking booze?
You're different than me and my brother then, because we don't care who judges. You're dealing with it.
But that's the life that they live in Florida. And I know I'm speaking in generalities, but... My mother-in-law.
They ease into the day, and then the afternoon, you might have a toddy.
But every day is the exact same. Every day is the exact same. Like, I was sitting, my mother-in-law's got a place, gated community on a golf course, looking over the eighth hole. And it's a great view, and you watch guys tee off and women tee off. And I'm sitting there on Sunday morning, around 7:50, 7:55. And all of a sudden, just before 8, I see four carts driving the wrong way down the eighth fairway. And I'm thinking, what are these guys doing?
Extra nine?
No, two of them stop at 8, and the other two keep going to 7. And I can see the 7th hole as well. And it dawns on me, they're having a tournament, a shotgun start on a Sunday morning. Who has tournaments on Sundays? But they do in Florida because every day is Sunday. Nothing changes.
I lived there for 2 years. I thought to myself, I was a professional hockey player. I'm owed... moving to Florida and golfing every day. And I would tee it up at 7 in the morning every day. And then after a while, I'm like, it's 1 o'clock. What am I going to
do? I got to do something else. You have to do something. But there's no
days. I would go home and have a nap, and I'd go swimming with my kids. I'm like, I can't. Like, you guys know I'm not, like, book smart, whatever. But I'm like, my brain is just not working here.
I don't know how they do it. I know I'm speaking in generalities, sir. I'm sure there are things that do happen down there.
And I had a bunch of people say, you know what, you got to go home, get a job, like be active. And other people saying, screw it, keep doing it.
Right.
Why not? Live the dream.
Yeah, there's a part of me
but
that feels
not,
like
it's
you
not
should.
Really the dream. It's not not that fun.
I think it's the dream after 40 years in the workforce. It
but
is the dream.
Even then, you get bored.
I'm here. I hear you, man.
Did you see the any like professional tanners? Have you seen those people?
Oh, dude, there were a couple of people. There was a woman down there. I don't know what color her skin was.
Like leathery?
But, yeah. It wasn't white. It wasn't black. But it was like, it was its own alligator type skin. And it was quite something. And she was there every single day. Get to the pool. Sun is just basting. And she is sitting there on that same lawn chair, taking it in. But it's incredible, man. Like, I honestly, I don't think, if you're retired in Florida, like, Monday, Tuesday, you don't even use days to explain what you're doing.
It's all the same thing.
It's all the same thing.
January to, like, April 1st, every day is the same.
Right.
Perfect weather, not a cloud in the sky. Maybe every, I think when I live down there, like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it might be like a little shower.
Maybe. And it didn't rain once when I was down
there. Oh, yeah. It's perfect.
But that's why, again, like I'm watching a shotgun start on a Sunday, which is generally the busiest golf day of the week. So you'd never have a tournament on a Sunday, but it doesn't matter because I'm sure 90% of people teeing off didn't even know it was Sunday.
You do any early bird specials?
We got out there with the early birds a couple of times.
4 p.m. dinner?
Yeah, get out there and do your thing. It's good. It's good to be back, though, I think. And, you know, it's a weird time in Toronto because the Leafs, all of a sudden, they've got like another bye week, which I guess we were expecting because they've played more games than anybody in the league almost since day one. They played on opening night, and like nobody's caught them all year. They've only got 14 games left. Like, the playoffs are coming. And we talked about this off the top of the show. The reaction to Florida's recent success, and the Leafs have lost four in a row, but they got points in two of those four games, so it's not, like, conventional losing. It's not losing regulation.
Kind of schedules
people are freaking out
down the stretch.
Probably similar to the Leafs. Stay in the Eastern time zone. Like, you get late into the year, that's what you do. You don't go out west. They got games against Tampa. The Leafs have them one more time, I believe, in Florida.
Yep.
But listen, if you're Columbus, I would be concerned about what Florida's doing. Maybe if
they
I'm Jersey.
They have a lot of games. Whoa.
Well, they get four in hand on Toronto.
Their schedule is not good.
Like, not good?
Like, just a lot of games and a lot of not that many days. Like, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Like, I'm telling you, I'm pleading with Leaf fans who are nervous. Don't, like, just worry about what the Leafs are doing. Florida's not catching Toronto. Toronto's going to keep winning games.
Clip that.
Clip it.
If it ever happens.
Go ahead, take it to the bank.
We'll have the freak out show.
Remember what I said before the season started? We were in Barrie, and we were doing the turkey dumps. Remember, we were all doing a different turkey dump. And what was my turkey dump? The negative mentality, the pessimistic mentality of Leaf fans, it needs to be left at the curbside.
But
it's not,
don't you have anything in the back of your head of the negativity? Do you remember what their status was a few years back? And this is a totally different team, a totally different regime. But I think they were 10 points in, and they ended up 10 points out.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, when you're a fan of a team, haunts you.
It does. If you acknowledge,
I try to just put it to the side. I'm like, when I heard Scotty today talking about Florida and what they could do and where they're at and the games in hand, but the positive Toronto fan is saying that could never happen. But there's a little thing in the back of my head saying, I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, what makes you think that
that's
Florida,
what I say? I say that'll never happen. To I hope that doesn't happen.
What makes you think that Florida all of a sudden is the best team in the league? This is not the Tampa team from a year
ago.
They
are by no means the best team in the league.
No.
But they're on a tear right now.
They're on a tear. They're winning a lot of games. They picked up a point last night. They battled. They were down 2-0, 3-1, and 4-2, and they got a point in Tampa. Like, that was a big point for them last night. Florida is not going to win their final 18 games. They're not going 18-0. It's not happening.
Clip that one.
Clip it. You can lock that one in
like
the bank.
It's a league of streaks. Like, the Leafs win 13 of 15, and then they lose four straight.
But
that's exactly what happens. That was the point I was making, though,
is that we forget they won 13 of 15.
Yeah.
13 of 15.
And then before that, hadn't they lost five straight or something like that?
I don't remember because that's so far in the past, it doesn't matter anymore.
Telling
but they won 13 of 15, and then they lost two games in overtime in a shootout. So they go 13-2 to 13-2-2, and now they've lost two in a row. So they're 13-4-2.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Like, keep that in mind when you're concerned about Florida.
You keep that in mind if they lose to Pittsburgh on Saturday and they've lost five straight.
They might lose to Pittsburgh.
You come in here Monday morning losing your mind.
No, I won't lose my mind. I'm telling you, I have more faith in this Maple Leaf team. It's not even about Florida. That's the point I'm trying to make. They are not even in my psyche. They're not even a part of the internal conversation I'm having. As a fan, as a radio guy, the Leafs are a good team. They're going to keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
The question becomes, when will Matthews return? And he was on the ice today,
yep.
But he's still in a non-contact jersey. He didn't complete practice. Can't imagine he's going to play this weekend. Don't see why he would play this weekend. We just saw what happened with Scheifele. May have re-injured that same shoulder that he came back from. Give Matthews time. If Anderson, you feel like, is cooling off a little bit or needs more rest, take it. Like you mentioned a story. What's Vasilevsky saying right now?
I'm tired.
Did he just say that this afternoon?
Yeah. He admits at this point, this particular point of the season, I'm tired.
Well, he's never played this many games before.
I know, but
right.
What I don't understand is, even if you are, why I don't know why you would
but don't
say
we,
that.
Don't we have like, a double standard then? Like we want.
I'm sure Freddie Anderson's pretty tired right now, too. The rubber he's faced.
He said today he's feeling great.
See,
what's
that
he really feeling?
It may not be the truth, but he's gonna give you the perception that he's feeling great.
Shouldn't we be happy that Vasilevsky is honest?
Well, I don't know why.
I don't need to be happy
about it.
Well, not happy.
This goes back. It's just the old school sports kind of tough guy psychology that if you admit to a weakness, people are going to chip away at it.
Yeah.
And maybe that permeates throughout the team and they're concerned about Vasilevsky. Or the old hockey adage that's been there forever. If you're going to say it behind closed doors. Don't say it publicly. Because now you're going to put heat on your coach to maybe give you games off where Tampa's in a position where they know they're going to the playoffs, but can they hold off Boston for that top spot? That's I guess, the debate. Pretty crazy couple of days in Seattle. We've talked about their pursuit of an NHL team, and it feels like that's a lock. That's going to happen. But the Seahawks have owned that town for a long time, and sounds as if it's a changing of the guard here. Michael Bennett was traded to Philly earlier this afternoon. Sounds like Richard Sherman is going to be the next one out. And at the same time, Ichiro signed back with the Mariners earlier this afternoon. And joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline is former NFL quarterback and ESPN radio host in Seattle. He's been on the show before, and he's back now. Here's Brock Huard. How you doing, Brock?
Yeah, lots going on in Seattle, huh? I thought I'd hear from you guys last week with the hockey. You know, that's got us all pumped up. My co-host Salk is just geeked out of his mind that the NHL sure looks like it's coming back. And this was to be expected, to be honest with you guys, that the Seahawks roster was going to turn. It began with the coaching staff at the end of the season, getting rid of the three biggest positions on the staff outside of head coach, an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and assistant head coach, and now get ready to see. Yeah, I think a whole bunch of changes to a roster that's going to look very different in 2018.
Where does Pete Carroll left in all this? He doesn't seem like a guy that wants to be a part of this. You know, that type of coach seems like he always wants to go to the winner, be a part of it. Where does he fall in all this?
No, I think this takes him back to his roots a little bit. You know, he said to us the day after the season, and I'll remember this maybe for the next few years and whatever Pete has left. You know, this roster and this team is going to turn. It's not going to rebuild. It's not going to retool. It's going to turn. And I think it's going to turn back to really the essence of Pete. You know I've jumped on with you guys before, and we've talked, you know, about professional sport, and I just heard you guys talking about some of that team culture in hockey and that dynamic. And all I know is in team sport, when I've been a part of it, is when some adversity hits, and it did this year, as the Seahawks didn't make the playoffs, every coach worth his salt goes back to the fundamentals, goes back to what is the essence of his program and what he does best. And for Pete, that is to compete, and it's to do it with young people. You know, he had his success at USC, and he changed the college football dynamic because he was the first to play young people. He was willing to play freshmen when others wouldn't. And you know, when I played 20 years ago, you redshirted as a freshman. Pete Carroll was one of the first guys that said, nope, if you're better, I don't care that you're a freshman. You're going to learn on the fly, and we're going to grow, and we're going to get better with you over the course of a season, it's going to pay huge dividends in their program. And the same thing was true in Seattle. You know, it was built on Richard Sherman playing as a rookie, on Russell Wilson playing as a rookie, on Bobby Wagner playing as a rookie, on hitting on those guys as talents, but playing them young. And I fully expect it to go the same route. They're going to go young. I don't think they're going to spend big in free agency. I think they're going to commit to playing a lot of the young people they've drafted over the last few years. I think they're going to continue to assume and assemble even more drafts, picks in this class. And they're going to turn back to the essence of what the program was built on, and that is youth and competition.
With Brock Huard, former NFL quarterback, ESPN radio host in Seattle, Michael Bennett traded today to Philadelphia, and it sounds as if Richard Sherman is out at some point as well, but that's not official. And what's interesting about these two players is how outspoken they have been over the years, and more so what they've been outspoken about, you know, not necessarily football-related. A lot of talk about racial inequality in the States, Black Lives Matter, chiming in on Roger Goodell and the league and the owners. And as a result, I've noticed that some of the narrative has been created, maybe not in Seattle, but league-wide in the NFL and specifically on social media, suggesting that maybe the reason Bennett and Sherman are out is because they've been so outspoken. Do you buy into that at all?
Yeah, if Michael Bennett had 15 sacks and played a high level and this team won 11 games, they would not be out. They would not be out, you know. So I don't put a lot of credence in that. You know, I think they could have done everything they did and continue to do it this offseason and into next season. And as long as they were highly productive on the field, they would be Seahawks. But they're not. Michael Bennett's going to be 33. While he had 8.5 sacks, if you watched him this year, he was not the same guy. And Richard Sherman blew out an Achilles and just had surgery on his other Achilles this offseason to repair it as well. And, you know, you're 30 and making $13 million. This is the nature of it. And this is the state of being a veteran in the NFL when you've got big paydays. If your team isn't winning and you're not producing at that level, at that bar that you originally set, you're not going to be a part of it. I do think, however, having said all of that, I do think that essence of competition, I call it being young, cheap, and hungry. I want young, I want cheap, and I want hungry. That's what they were when they built it the first time. I think that's what they'll continue to strive to be here the second time around.
Well, and with Russell Wilson, man, you're starting in a great position. Like, he's a top 7 or 8 quarterback in the league, and every time I watched the Seahawks game last year, he was running for his life. I think they've got to improve their offensive line. There's all this focus on the defensive side of things, but you have to feel pretty comfortable in turning the ship around pretty quickly with Wilson as a quarterback.
Yeah, that's why I don't put him in a rebuild mode. You're just not rebuilding when you've got a franchise quarterback. You know, I look at Green Bay, they've turned their roster. Pittsburgh with Roethlisberger has turned their roster. Obviously, Tom is in New England has turned their roster. When you've got that guy, you can turn your roster without having to totally retool or rebuild or do any of that. And, you know, they had no run game. As bad as the O-line was, and maybe it was coupled. Not maybe, it was. It was coupled with that run game. They were horrific for a team that was built to run the ball. They could not run it a lick. You take Russell out of the equation and his rushing yards, and he was the leading rusher. They were the worst in the league. So it can only go up from there. They're going to run it better. They're going to commit to that offensive line. Dwayne Brown, who they traded for, he has a high ankle sprain his first week on the job. You did not get the full Dwayne Brown that they're going to expect to get next year. Yes, I would expect them to draft, to continue to add to that group, to be committed to running the football. And if you run the football and you've got a franchise quarterback, you got a chance in the NFL.
With Brock Huard, former NFL quarterback, ESPN radio host in Seattle. As for the Mariners, Ichiro, we all know what he did in 01 when he first got there. 116 wins, MVP, AL Rookie of the Year, like 262 hits. And he's an all-time great player. He's a future Hall of Famer, but he left the Mariners back in 2012. And he's been with the Yankees and down in Miami, and he re-signed with the Mariners today. Put his legacy and his importance to that market into perspective for us.
Oh, he was a game changer. You know, I was out at our shows from spring training this week, so I'm actually talking to you in the sun here in Arizona, and it's beautiful. And I was talking to the voice of the Mariners now, Rick Riz. He said, "Hey, come over here." And baseball guys love to tell stories, I think more than anybody else. "Come here, Brock. I got to show you something. You see this practice field here? When Ichiro came in 2001, from the left field pole to the right field pole, behind the fence, it was nothing but media from Japan and in the the South Pacific or the Pacific Ocean there, the Asian Rim, Pacific Rim, excuse me. It was nothing but loaded with hundreds of people from that culture and that dynamic that had to be there to shoot Ichiro. He was that enormous of a star. So it's not quite the same. There were probably a dozen reporters from Japan today. There weren't a couple hundred of them. But he was a rock star, man. He revolutionized the Mariners. He revolutionized the game with his hitting. He was the greatest hitter in baseball for a long, long time. He will be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a bit player now. I don't think there's any question about that. He's not coming in to save the day. He's 3 years older than I am, which it just blows my mind that he could somehow continue to keep doing what he's doing. But he's a bit player with a much smaller contract that's going to fit a very small role here, but maybe an important one as they try to stay afloat with the injury bug that continues to bite.
Thank you, Brock. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, always fun to catch up with you guys, and we can't wait for the NHL to come, and I'm going to be bothering you guys when they do come, and we think in 2020.
You got it. We'll be there for you. Thanks, man.
All right, fellas. Have a good night.
There's Brock Heward, former NFL quarterback and ESPN radio host in Seattle, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.ca. Feeling pretty confident the NHL be in Seattle in 2020. Like, is anybody disputing that? Is there one person who's like, no, I don't think it's going to happen?
You wonder about the ticket drive. Was that, like, kind of false excitement? I mean, people just saying, we got to do it. We can't look stupid and not fulfill the numbers. I mean,
it's an interesting parallel. Like, if the NFL was potentially coming to Toronto, and they told the prospective owner up
here. My views on that are, if there was a dying need for NFL, it would already be here. So if there was a dying need for hockey in Seattle, why is it taking this long for it to get there?
They needed to expand, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's been a big market for a long time.
No, but it's like, if you're that popular of a hockey market,
yeah.
Why did there a team end up in San Jose before you, Tampa Bay, Florida, Arizona?
Yeah, it's a good question. Because there's big business. Like, Microsoft is up there.
And maybe that's the reason Starbucks that there's been so there. Much expansion in Seattle the last, but there's been a lot of cities picked over Seattle.
Yeah, including here. Well, no, the opposite. That they're getting picked ahead of. Do you know what I mean?
No idea what you just said.
That they didn't pick Toronto again.
Over, like, a second team in Toronto, you mean? Yeah.
I like how that conversation is just, like, dead. I know we can always say, it's like always a popular radio topic, but like mm-hmm.
Same thing in Toronto. If there was a dying, if somebody really, really wanted a second team in Toronto, don't you think it would happen?
No, Bettman in the for whatever reason he's always been against it. Like, I don't know why. Maybe it's preserving the legacy of the Maple Leafs. Maybe it's the power of the Maple Leafs. I'm not sure exactly why. Maybe there wasn't a prospective owner that truly. Yeah. Came to the table with a reasonable game plan and blueprint as to how it was going to work and why it was going to work. But that's an interesting question. Like, forget the NFL. Let's use a second NHL team as an example. Let's say someone paid the $10 million to the league and said, we want to bring a second team to Toronto and we're going to have a ticket drive here. How well do you think they do?
Didn't they do that for the Hamilton thing or no?
I don't know if they did for Hamilton. I don't think they did for Hamilton. They might have. But Hamilton was, they were buying a team and bringing them up here. It was an expansion, and that was ball silly, and it was Hamilton. It's not Toronto.
If they did a ticket drive for here, I think it would go well, don't you?
I think it would. I really do think it would. I think it would be interesting.
You just think of people you talk to, though. I think there's some people.
Well, think about all those people who are on the Maple Leaf season ticket list waiting forever.
Well, that's the bigger debate.
How many are
debate.
On it? Is it like thousands and thousands?
You hear different stories. I who knows? I mean, they claim it takes 30 years to finally get tickets, but then all of a sudden you come across people that aren't even 30 and they've got tickets, and maybe it's inherited, maybe it's passed down. But I think that would be the bigger question. How many Leaf fans would say, I'll invest money in a ticket drive for a second team?
But it's not just Leaf fans. Like, lots of fans here hate the Leafs. Seems like people either love them or just, if they're hockey fans, despise them.
Yeah.
Don't you find that?
There's a lot of Canadian fans. I know multiple diehard Montreal Canadian fans who have season tickets to Maple Leaf games.
just to see the other team?
Well, they live here, right? Like, that's what it is. If you live in Toronto and you want the NHL experience, it doesn't matter who you're a fan of. You've only got one option. It's the Maple Leafs. So maybe from their perspective, they would think of taking a different approach and giving up their Leaf seasons and jumping on board with the second team. I don't know. All right, Jack Armstrong is going to join us. He also won a big award last night. Canadian Screen Awards were handed out last night. Duffy won it. Luke Wildman, our boy Luke, he won it. Jack Armstrong. Jack's American. Luke's British. And they're picking up Canadian Screen Awards. And the O-Dog can't get one.
I think he should. He should be in the running. Were you nominated for anything?
No, I never will be because...
Why?
Of Duffy.
But aren't you in a different category?
You're in a totally different category.
Isn't there like an analyst
You're
category?
Analyst. He's host.
Who was nominated for an analyst if not him?
Well, different companies. People from Sportsnet, I'm sure, CBC.
We need to track down this list.
Who won the analyst element of it?
Jack. Jack won the best, I believe, like in-game analyst. Sports analyst. Jack Armstrong. That's your competition. We'll get you to make your case as to why you should have won that over Jack.
Hello.
And Jack will join us. Raptors Pistons tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Friday, call with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Red Wings March 24th down at the ACC. The theme this week, former Leafs who played for the legendary Red Wings coach Scotty Bowman. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Dave Andrechuk, who played for Scotty Bowman in Buffalo back in 1982. The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. Dave Andrechuk, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I wrote a big story about him in the Hall of Fame. I remember that.
Did you carve the decision?
1982. That's a long time ago.
He played for, what, 25 years?
20-ish.
No, he played for more than that, didn't he?
I think it's like 22, maybe.
Okay.
He played until 05, 06. He's like a very questionable, like right on the border Hall of Fame case. He just played forever.
And his numbers were outstanding. He had more than 600 goals, I believe.
Yeah, I think he has the all-time mark for power play goals, and he's pretty high up in goals.
He's a great player.
But he's more like longevity than he is like he was top 10.
Well, it's like Mark Recchi. Like Recchi was the same thing. Recchi was like consistently very good to great player, but
and
not like elite player.
Yeah.
You know, but he got in.
Who's that?
Mark Recchi. Yeah. Recchi and Andrechuk both got in.
Yeah.
They were around for a long, long time. Really, really good players. Superstars?
No.
Debatable. Speaking of superstars, the NBA, man, there's a couple of them that are leading the charge here in terms of talking about mental health initiatives. It began with DeMar DeRozan. Kevin Love. I mean, these are superstar players who are willing to speak about their personal lives and what's going on with them away from the court. And it feels like it's something that exclusively happens in the NBA. Like this league feels so much more progressive than every other league. And to chat about that, to look back on the Raptors' win last night, tee up the game in Detroit tonight. We head down to Michigan now. The game can be heard on TSN 1050. And here's our good buddy, CSA Award winner, Jack Armstrong. What's up, Jack?
Ryan, how you doing? Guys, how are you?
We're in the presence of royalty here. Canadian Screen Award winner. Take us through your reaction when you won the CSA last night.
Well, it's interesting. Last year, I was fortunate enough to win it as well, and I wasn't even there. And I was in Florida. Actually, I just finished NBA All-Star weekend, and I needed a few days away and never thought I'd win. And I found out sitting in a bar. And then this year, just last night, I didn't have the Raptors were on the other networks, let's just say, and I had the night off. So I was able to go. So I took my lovely bride with me and hung out with all our TSN colleagues. And shockingly, I won again. So I'm honored and privileged and, you know, humbled by it. It's just remarkable to have that honor. So in back-to-back years. So it's really cool. And I'm just, I don't know what else to say. I work with great people and it makes the job fun.
Is there a bonus, Jack?
You know, it's interesting. You know, the big kahuna, Mark, you know, a big boss there at TSN, he says to me, he goes, you know, you really screwed up. I said, why? He goes, you didn't ask for a clause in your contract for awards like this. I said, you know what? I never even thought of it. I didn't even know these awards existed. You know, when I was a coach, I had it in my contract. You know, you win Coach of the Year, you get to the tournament, you win a certain number of games, you get a bonus. And so 2 years in a row, I get this big award and not a penny more.
That's a shame. Like, Duffy was smart enough. Duffy's worth like $50 million now because he wins every single year and he's got a clause in his contract.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? And so shame on me. And Mark, Mark pointed it out to me right away. So
okay.
He rubbed my face in it. Let's just say that.
Right. And just for the record, I have no idea what's in Duffy's deal, but maybe. You know, he's got $50 million. I know that. He's rolling in the cash.
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. So I referenced the DeMar DeRozan story where he spoke about his own mental health issues in the past or initiatives in the past where he has suffered from depression. And he sent out a tweet that at the time felt somewhat innocuous. You know, I wasn't sure what to make of it. He was in L.A. It was late at night. And then I guess he circled back, or the media circled back, and asked him to explain it. And he opened up about some of the issues that he's gone through with throughout his life. And that has spearheaded a movement where, at the very least, Kevin Love has jumped on board. And Love wrote a piece in the Players Tribune speaking of his own anxiety and panic attacks. He suffered a panic attack earlier this season. And this is a pretty fascinating movement, and one that I think speaks to the progressiveness of the NBA. I mean, what is it about the NBA that allows players and coaches and GMs and everyone to feel so open and honest about a litany of issues? Because it seems like they're much further ahead than other leagues.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I spoke at an event the other day at the Air Canada Center. And one of the points I made was, when you compare the NBA to the other three major sports, I think we're way ahead of the curve on that area. You know, every sport has its own strengths and weaknesses, but I would say our league, I think that's one of our strengths. I think we are progressive. I think and encouraging of our players and coaches and executives to speak their mind on a lot of different things. And I think it's wonderful. And, you know, here in Toronto, obviously, our colleague Michael Landsberg has done so much tremendous work in this area, and I just think it's fabulous that you have these young guys like DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love talk about it. And I really think this, you know, a lot of kids, as you guys know, they do look up to athletes. And when athletes speak out about stuff like this, if it helps them just even a little bit, manage what they're going through, I think it's just awesome.
With Jack Armstrong, so we were talking about this earlier this afternoon. The Raptors, they have a propensity for beating up on bad teams. You know, last night it was a close game until about 5 minutes left, and they end up beating up on Atlanta by double digits, and they beat up bad teams more so than probably any other team in the league. And I don't think it holds any weight. I don't think it means anything in terms of the big picture. I'm not taking those kind of statistics and supplying them to why I think they're going to win three or four rounds come the spring. Where do you stand on that, the idea of beating up on bad teams being worth anything?
Well, I'll go the other way for a second. I really think you can only beat who you have in front of you, and if they happen to be good, so be it. If they happen to be lousy, beat them even worse. You know, and I also say that if you're going to have a great regular season, you got to beat bad teams. I mean, you got to beat those teams consistently. And I think to their credit, they've done that. And I think if you look at any good team in any sport, they're usually at an extremely high level against poor competition. And then they're a little bit north of 500, maybe a little better against the real good teams on their schedule. I mean, I think you could go through the history of the NBA, the NHL, even the NFL. And when you play people in your neighborhood that are similar to you in talent, usually you win a few, you lose a few. I mean, that's part of it. So, you know, I don't get – all I care about is you win by one. That's it. You know, so how you won and style and the number of points. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying about that. But it's still about, did you win or didn't you? And they are doing a good job beating who they're supposed to beat. That's how you have a great regular season. When you play really good teams in the playoffs, you're probably going to have to go 6 or 7 games to beat them, which the way it should be.
Jack, who's the team at the bottom of the Eastern playoff picture that would scare you the most in the first round if you were the Raptors?
Wow. I tell you what, I'm scared of all of them right now. I'm not going to kid you. I mean, Miami, they've played twice. Both games, and they're 1-1 against them, and it came down to the last play on both. Then, you know, you look at Indiana. I mean, they're in fourth now, so I shouldn't even talk about that.
Right.
Washington, the Raptors are 2-2 against them. They've had a hard time against them. Then Philadelphia, you had Bellinelli and Ilyasova, and now they're healthy. You want to play Philly? I mean, they're a nightmare to deal with. They got two guys in Ben Simmons and Embiid. If they stay healthy for the next 15 years, they're both going to end up in the Hall of Fame. They're that good. Toronto doesn't have a guy like that. And then I think when you look at a team like Milwaukee, they were a complete nightmare to deal with a year ago in the playoffs. The Raptors have beaten them 2 out of 3 this year. But, you know, the two of the games were overtime. So to me, and they've got guys hurt right now. So I don't think there's a team that you can look at right now and say it's going to be easy. I think if you're Toronto, I think a first-round series against any of those teams, it's going to go to 6 or 7 games. Nothing's going to be easy.
Not only for
Toronto, but if you're Boston, Cleveland, and whoever the fourth seed is, you're going to have your hands full in the first round.
With Jack Armstrong in Detroit, Raptors Pistons tonight right here on TSN 1050. And this screams trap game tonight because we know who's in town on Friday, and that would be the Houston Rockets. And Houston won last night. They've won 16 in a row. They're in Milwaukee tonight. If they beat Milwaukee tonight, and I believe they're favored, they should be, that'll be 17 in a row. Hottest team in the NBA. More than likely the MVP in James Harden. Yet they're going to be rolling into the ACC, where the Raptors have the best home record in the league. And the Raptors rolled into Houston a few months ago and spanked them, and I believe put an end to a 14 or 15 game win streak at that point for Houston. So I think this would be curious to see how Vegas treats the game on Friday night. Would you expect, if everyone's healthy between now and then, the Raptors to be favored? Would it be a pick'em for you, or would Houston deserve to be favored on Friday night?
Wow. I didn't know I was Jimmy the Greek giving out gambling advice.
Yeah, you're a Canadian Screen Award winner, buddy. You need to. I need more out of you still somehow.
I would go, if both teams win tonight and Toronto playing at home, it's like the NFL, you usually get 3 points for a home game. I would say it's a pick 'em.
Yeah.
I would say it's a pick 'em. I think it would be nuts for anyone to say otherwise. I do think Houston's a little more talented than Toronto. But the fact that Toronto's at home, you got to give a few points to that. So I would go pick them.
I'll take it, pick them. I mean, listen, the Raptors, they deserve the respect. I don't know if they'll get it from Vegas because, you know, there's so much focus on the bench and there's focus on, you know, who's the third man here beyond Lowry and DeMar. Maybe that's not the question down in Houston. And Houston's going to get the national media down in the States. But you're down there all the time. I mean, if you're not paying attention to this Raptors team, you're missing out, man. They're the real deal.
Well, they're fun, and it's been a fabulous season. And what do we got? 19 games left here, so it should be a fun finish. And as we spoke about it, the playoffs, nothing's going to come easy. I think that's the one thing people have got to be realistic about, that even though they're having a great regular season, they have their hands full in the first round of the playoffs.
Yep. Enjoy it tonight down in Detroit, Jack, and congrats again on the award last night. Well-deserved, buddy, and we'll do it again soon.
Well, thank you so much, and I get to work with great colleagues like you guys, and it makes my job so much more fun, so much easier, and I'm blessed. Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. There's Jack Armstrong down in Detroit. Raptors Pistons tonight, 8 p.m. tip-off because game's on ESPN in the States, and you can hear it here on TSN 1050 tonight. Trap game with Houston in town on Friday, and Detroit has been brutal recently. They made that Blake Griffin deal, and they've just sunk. Like, they're out of it for the most part.
Well, and they traded it to be relevant.
Yeah, to get people in the stands.
Yeah, and
hopefully for
miss.
The playoffs, and you're going to miss. They're 4.5 out. It's probably over.
And I think he has 4 years left on his contract, and it's not a... It's
big money.
It's a nice payday.
Yeah, it's big money. Thanks again to Jack. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Recap a busy afternoon. Jonas is in here from The Athletic. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Calgary.
Scotty hit a perfect scorecard every day he worked on the show.
Is that right? I find that hard to believe because he does it on his own show every single day. And I think he's hitting below the Mendoza line. I'm hitting about 350, but 350 pays money. And I'm going to hit a winner tonight. Calgary needs a win tonight. They get one in Buffalo. Over the number, Pittsburgh, Philly. Under the number, Arizona, Vancouver. Arizona, Vancouver. Imagine being forced to watch that game.
I probably would kind of get to it anyway, but it wouldn't be that exciting.
So leave in the second period after the two?
Yeah, the pro scouts will be out of that one. And
quick.
Period.
Well, the trade deadline's done. What are you watching now?
Well,
you still got to stay on top of the league.
Agents.
I'll send them all a note. These teams are brutal. They're horrible. There's nothing there you want. See you later. Moving on. Throw down 20. You can score 87. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Shout out to Dougie Gilmore, who joined us in studio earlier. We love Dougie. He's a legend. He said we can call him and bother him at any point.
And we will do that. Your voice is a
disaster.
I'm
struggling, dude.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I haven't been speaking. I've been like...
If you call in tomorrow and say I lost my voice...
I'm losing my voice.
Your number.
I'm losing my voice. I spent a week down south like Bernie Lomax. I didn't say anything. I was talking to kids and... The adults, we were just like, leave me alone, you know? So I think I'm losing my voice.
Well, you got to stick with me tomorrow. I got an MRI at 7 tomorrow, and I got to get out of here like 15 minutes early, so you got to...
On the bad wing?
Oh, my God.
Got to get that wing figured out.
I'm buying something like it's like a knapsack where it keeps my shoulders in place that I have to wear all the time.
All right. I'll be thinking about you. We'll get through tomorrow. Jonas, thank you very much.
I'll see you Friday.
Jonas Seager from The Athletic. He'll be in here on Friday. I am your favorite host. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.